Ghostly Talk.
Hello and welcome to Ghostly Talk, our favorite time of year.
Yeah,
this is an awesome time of year. I'm Doug.
Haven't you been feeling better? Oh yeah, I'm Scott L.
Hey, Scott L.
Haven't you been feeling like it's kind of cold air?
It's cold. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean yesterday was. Oh.
Well, we went out ghost hunting last night.
Yeah, we went out ghost hunting last night. We met around well, me and Will met at 5.
Good job.
Yeah. Punctuality is very important these days. No,
I did
right,
not.
Okay.
I did not show up until what, 6:30?
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
We called Doug up and he's like, I'm like, Doug, are you, you know, what's going on, dude?
I'll be right
there. Yeah, that's exactly how he sounded on the phone. No,
I had a hard day at work. Well, it's going to be even a harder day at work tomorrow because, you know, full moon
day. Yeah. We talked about that already. So, yeah, just a warning for you people that don't know yet, tomorrow is full moon day. So, you know, that might be a cool topic, you know that?
Oh, you mean what people experience on full moon days?
Coming at you, 2002, Ghostly Talk. There you go. More good ideas.
Because all I know is I work at a call center where people call in,
uh-huh.
And oh my gosh, full moon days are historically worse than any other day.
Well, tell you what, you know, that tomorrow is full moon day, and probably a lot of our listeners have jobs similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys, like, experience any weird stuff,
email us.
Hit us with that.
Yeah.
Because we might do a show on that, like, very soon. That's actually a very cool,
I think
like,
it would be
cool
an awesome
subject.
Topic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ghostlytalk at ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah, exactly. Also, we're on the IMs, so if you have any ideas about that, hit us on the IMs, too. Ghostlytalk on Yahoo. GT Talk Show on AIMs.
Yep.
You get it right? Cool. Yeah, we went out last night. It was bitter cold during the day. Like,
and
when the sun was out.
Yeah.
Well, it really wasn't out. It was just, like,
there.
Hiding behind the clouds.
Yeah.
But we noticed when we came out of Applebee's, because we went to eat, like me and Jeff said, it was like a lot warmer. It felt warmer for some reason. I don't know why, but it was cool. It was cold enough to like put the heater on full blast every time you got in the car.
It was, yeah. I was chilled to the bone a little bit here and there, but it was an interesting night. Our ghost hunting experience. Yeah. Before we get onto our topic tonight, by the way, if you want to get through our boring rambling, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We will be talking about theater ghosts.
Yeah.
Ghosts and hauntings of theaters and stuff like that. But for now, we're going to talk a little bit about what we did last night. We met up at Applebee's and we took off. We went to, what was first? The
Morrow Road.
Yeah.
We tried to experiment again. Me and Will did.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let's say we got there first.
Oh, God.
And, like, we're driving down the road and we
awesome.
See, like this blinking light and, like, some hazard thingies, you know, the reflective hazard thingies. And what's going on? So we're like, let's go check it out. So there's two carloads of us. And we, like, went down there and we come up to what it was a haunted hayride. So they're all, hey, how you doing?
Like, wait with us.
So we turn around and go back to the bridge on Merrill Road where we wanted to walk around at. And we just did our thing there, did a few things, and then I guess we all wanted to wait for the thing to come back by.
Oh,
us
we
again.
Did.
So
yeah.
We sat there and here, you know, the thing's moving like a mile like every 2 years. So there's all these people, and like some of the people are literally just walking
behind it.
Because he's, you know, well, why not? I mean, it's like you can't keep up with it. So. You just picture like 7 people on the side of the road with cameras and flashlights in their hands, and this little slow like tractor coming by us with a trailer on the end of it, just going, hey! And, you know, it turned into like a bit of a Mardi Gras situation for about 2 seconds there.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. We did try the experiment, though, again, and nothing happened.
No, nothing happened at all.
Nothing happened. And we did everything we were supposed to do, and we did hear that sound, but I think we figured out, like, that was when we finished with the experiment. If you guys don't know, some of you don't know what that is, basically you go to Morrow Road. Will, you always tell us a lot better than me. Why don't you go ahead and tell
You go to Morrow Road, you park on the bridge, and you
the South Bridge,
the South
which
bridge.
You cannot see anymore because they rebuilt it, yeah.
You park your car on there, shut it off, put your keys on the dash, and then honk your horn 3 times. Supposedly, I've heard two different rumors, or urban legends. But what you do is there's supposed to be like a light that comes in and then goes into your backseat of your car. And it's in there before you can put the keys in and drive away.
Yeah.
The other one is supposed to hear a baby cry.
Yeah, and that was what was creepy because, well, we finished up what we were doing and we were on the side of the road like what the rain started to come down, so we're like, oh, great, okay. And then we heard that kind of sound. And we basically deducted, because it was creepy at the time, because we're all standing there, like, in this dark, deserted road in the middle of nowhere, and we hear this sound come out. But we figured, didn't a car come down past us, like, soon after that?
No, a car. I saw a car, like, pull out of a driveway kind of thing.
We think it might have been somebody partying, and, like, the actual sound, if it was, like, right next to that person, would have been, like they were drunk out of their mind. And from, you know, the Doppler effect, I guess, coming to us, it was, like, sounded like a little cat or child, you know.
Yeah,
crying some kind of cry, yeah. So, but regardless, it was kind of creepy. Then we went to Michigan Street.
Yeah, we went
to Michigan Street next. That was cool. Not, I didn't really feel anything.
Where if you go to the website MichiganGhostbusters.com, that's where if you look in the busts section, you'll see the they put up the video where it is actually me standing in the foreground and this thing whizzes by.
Yeah,
and it comes down, makes a 90-degree turn, and whizzes by. And I was standing there. I didn't see it when it happened, and made a fool out of myself on the message board. I'm like, you know, oh, them lucky people. And Tom's like, you're kidding. It was me. I was there, you know. But yeah, it that haunted, like, ghost train kind of video.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And turns out, well, we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, it's still anomalous. Nobody really knows what it is.
Yeah, we're like, where were the flashlights? Was it a light? What is it? And but go to MichiganGhostbusters.com and take a look at that video in the Michigan Street section.
It's a cool bridge. Very cool bridge. Big metal wood old bridge.
Yeah.
Bit of a walk to get back there. But when you're, like, hobnobbing the whole way there and talking, it's like, you don't even notice it. But then we moved on to Goodrich Cemetery, which was a very, very cool cemetery.
And that's where we met up with, like, 1,000 kids.
Yeah, but they were all cool.
They were cool.
Very cool.
We
enjoyed it. We talked to Mike. Mike, hey, we told him about the show. So if you're out there, Mike,
Hey. What up?
But, yeah, we actually got some very cool pictures. Me and you went to the pictures before the show. And we had a real strong mist that we were like,
yeah,
what's up with that? And then another shot we got.
There's this
Doug got it. I didn't get it.
No, Will was taking it with my camera, but Will was taking the shot.
It was my camera.
Yeah.
I want 25%.
If the National Enquirer picks up the photo, you know, I want my cut.
Well, one of the pictures, though, too, we saw, which we both freaked out, is there is this mysterious red light in the picture. I wish you could have put these up on the site. But
we will eventually.
But there's like this mysterious red light in there. We were, you know, zooming in, and it looks like a face of some sort. Because the picture itself, the whole portrait, is like a bunch of people standing there with flashlights in their hands, like looking like they don't know where they're going.
Right. And it was actually outside.
We were all on the outside. We were all on the outside of the fence of the cemetery itself. And there's trees all in the background, and up in these trees, there is an actual like red spot. That we don't know where it came from. We have no clue where it came from. Because there's no lights back there. This place was like pitch dark.
Yeah.
Like this is like 1 o'clock in the morning, too. So we moved on from there to the ski lodge, which I don't know too much history or anything behind this. Why don't you hit us with that, too, Will?
Well, we don't know
it. We haven't really hit too much history. We don't even know the name of the place. You only heard about it.
Yeah, I heard about it from a coworker.
Okay.
Scott. Hey, Scott. Coworker Scott. I don't think he listens to Ghostly Talk, though, but... Right. Should.
Well, hopefully he'll listen now.
Yeah.
Because we're giving props on the air.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But he told me about it. They used to go party there and stuff.
You can tell.
You can tell that there were a lot of people partying there over the years.
That place is, like, pretty beat on. And the mud factor is not exactly my favorite thing in the world either.
Especially with a nice new car.
I just spent 75 cents to get my car cleaned out today from all the mud on the floor mats. I was like, oh, come on. But interesting place, though. Doug actually got some pictures from the last time you guys were there. They were fairly anomalous. There was some misty kind of figurines in the picture floating around, so to say.
Here's the quarter.
Oh, thanks.
That's from the Ghostly Talk studio.
Actually, because I told you the guy ripped me off when I left.
Oh, yeah.
He shorted me a... God, you're a cool guy.
Well, there's the quarter. There you go.
here.
My part of your, but I didn't think that was my mug.
Actually, I'm going to keep this quarter because I'm broke, man.
Keep it.
I'm taking this mug.
It was just laying around the Ghostly, you know, Ghostly Talk Studios.
It just ended up here somehow. We don't know.
Yeah.
Just
apported.
It's, yeah, somehow it came from, well, what's the year on the quarter?
Yeah. So we, but this place, it's got like a basement and a main floor.
Yeah.
And there's, the prominent feature is the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they've been, you know, quite, you know, heavily partied around.
On a skank, like a skank rating of like 1 to 10, we're pushing like 8.5, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
The building's still standing. That's why it gets like 1.5 points.
It also has some fire damage, and there's, you know, fire line, do not cross cave,
uh-huh.
And it's, you know, been laying down for quite some time.
Yeah. It was the mud. That's not my favorite thing, though.
Yeah, well, that's just a product of the rain as well.
Oh, yeah,
so.
it was...
Ghost hunting in the fall.
You've
got to deal with mud.
I got to start wearing boots.
You should have been to the abandoned summer camp.
I could.
That was all mud.
Yeah, that was mud.
There was nothing but mud. That was pure, torturous, muddy... They imported special clingy mud from Europe. The extra clingy. So that it would cling to
you
everywhere.
You could like get a chisel out, and you'd probably take the heel off your shoe before you get the mud off.
Yeah, it was really clingy, bad mud. And pictures of all that stuff are up on MichiganGhostbusters.com.
Yeah, check it out.
We're really working on that site, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of the updates are like every day. So if you just go in there and click refresh, like throughout the day.
Yeah, you'll see something new will pop up.
So. But that's always a cool website. I love people that do websites like that.
Yeah.
You know, you get somebody like updates their site like every 2 weeks, and it's like that's how you lose people. You know, when you trying to get people to come to your site. But Michigan Ghostbusters don't do that. They actually update every single day.
Yeah,
updates
in the forums are immensely popular.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And our forums are starting to really pick up now too.
I know. Not yesterday and today though.
Well, that's the weekend. People are probably partying.
That's true.
Except for us.
Yeah, we were out ghost hunting, sitting there waiting for someone to post a message.
But throughout the week, everybody's at work.
Yeah.
Like me, and they got nothing else to do except sit around and surf message boards and try to chime in with their opinion, and that's hopefully...
And then
they're
flamed to the pits of depravity and stuff.
But check out the forums on our site, too. Very cool, very cool. A lot of things going on, a lot of cool topics. That's where we love having people submit topics to us. As a matter of fact, tonight's topic, it was submitted to us also. And I'm a complete moron. I forgot to get the name of the person again. I actually think it was Kyle. Kyle again.
Could be.
More points for Kyle.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. If it wasn't, feel free to send me the most repulsive, vulgar email you want. No problem. And
well, Kyle's,
quickly delete it.
Kyle's website is The Paranormal Room.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't even know. It's coolgb.com or something.
Uh-oh.
Paranormalroom.coolgb.com.
Does that sound familiar?
That
sounds right.
No, you're right, because I've seen that.
I think that's it.
After we had this little problem before.
We had this last week. We're like, what was that link?
So that was our little thing last night. Good time. Great time. You know, it's always fun to go out and do stuff, especially because I don't get to go out as much as I'd like to. It was nice to get out and get some air and freeze my...
I think there were a lot of things.
We slipped on that one.
There were a lot of things retracted into people's bodies last night. Whoa, it was cold.
Oh.
Nonetheless, I thought everyone was kind of on edge. You started
at the end of the night.
No, you started it out on the bridge.
What'd I do?
Shelly.
Oh, I didn't. That was a joke. Okay, I'm breaking like the first three rules of like the Ghost Hunter's Guide of like personal safety and etiquette.
You blew it all out of the water.
Yes, I lied. That was the big problem. I lied.
Well, you didn't lie. You were just perpetuating a joke.
I was loving it because Jeff was her husband was in on it. Come on.
I didn't know he was in on it.
He was in on it. He was looking at me just like.
I think everyone was in on it at that point.
Pretty much.
I didn't know about it. I was watching. I was trying to see where Steve was because he had just taken off.
Yeah, he just went out on his own. But that's cool. That's very cool. I didn't mean to do that, though. It made me feel bad.
Right.
I feel bad now.
You started it out, and then it just perpetuated. Everybody was on edge.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that dramatic. I didn't think it was that bad.
I don't know. You were quite dramatic at the ski lodge.
Well, I was cranky at Michigan Street, too.
Everybody got pretty... Yeah, well, you took off the other direction. He went one way. Will went the other. left us on the bridge to try and calm Scott down because he was doing all his praying.
Oh, God!
All right, that one prank.
Oh,
bad
God.
Prank.
One? It wasn't a bad prank. Everyone was laughing. They thought it was funny, man. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I don't care.
Shelly, I'm sorry.
But,
oh, man.
But I think all in all, after we finally got home, got some sleep, although you went home and got on the internet. I don't know how you did it, both of you. I came home. I crashed.
Yeah,
I was out.
I just got a cable modem. Come on, I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah, you and your wonderful MIDI goodness going on your cable.
Don't even know. We'll be at this till 7:30.
All right.
I don't even want,
no. So we...
sound like hearing Iron Maiden wasted years on MIDI. One of my favorite songs of all time reduced to a MIDI file. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it was kind of sad.
Pretty horrible.
But we... I just thought it was kind of an edgy night.
I think we were all tired.
Yeah.
We were all tired, and it was really getting cold, and you're cramped in a car driving around from one side of the state to the other, and it was just like, that's the night that gets you. This weather, it's really cold. This is like colder than it normally should be right now, too.
Yeah.
Me and Shelly were actually talking about that. Like, this time of year, it's usually very comfortable.
Well, there's usually like some kind of Indian summer going on.
Yeah.
This just ain't happening.
Yeah, it's
going
to freeze up. We're supposed to get snow.
I was supposed to be, last night, I was supposed to be in, all of us were supposed to be in Ohio.
Yep.
At Sprucevale.
We were supposed to do a show. We were going to do a show on our weekend in Spruceville.
Yeah.
And where they ended up having to cancel because they knew the weather was just going to be so miserable that we would have been equally as miserable, too.
Yeah. So we didn't get to meet the Majda folks.
But hi, anyways. And thank you.
Hey, Majda folks.
Thank you for letting us... Well, you would have let us come out. Thank you for giving us the invite.
Yeah, cool. majda.net.
Very cool.
Majda.net.
Why don't we take a quick break, though? We come
right.
back, we're going to get on the topic of theater ghosts.
Theater ghosts, yes.
Lots of stuff to cover, so we'll be back in a second.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts,
Doug
and Scott L.
It's paranormally scientific.
All right.
No, there's one more thing.
What?
Next week's show. We have to talk about
that really briefly
at least.
Yes.
Special two-hour show.
We're going to burn our voices out completely.
It'll be awesome. We're going to, it'll be our Halloween show.
Yeah. I've been waiting all year for this since we started doing this show.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it all year going, what are we going to do for Halloween? Because like Halloween is like...
It's the time.
It's the day, man.
Yeah.
It's like this season right now, you can feel it already. I mean, why do you think we've never ran into people like that like we did last night at Goodrich Cemetery?
Right.
We've never, maybe a couple people who were like, hey, we heard this place is haunted. But like four carloads of people come up and they're like, hey, you hear this place is haunted? I mean, it's the time of year, which is cool. It's very cool for people to go out, but it tends to put a strain on the people that are there to really research and document and see things and try to experience something.
Well, I noticed that was more of that outing that those four carloads of folks, you know, were on wasn't very much of a ghost investigation because...
It was more of a...
I didn't detect any cameras or flashlights or anything like that.
They didn't have any flashlights, but they did have cameras.
Oh, really?
They just didn't use them because we were there.
Oh, okay.
If, you know, 25 people in the cemetery, you're not really going to get a whole bunch of...
Well, yeah, that one girl did say that, and I'm like... Boy, geez, I've heard that before.
Yeah, we with DDPI, we'd go out with like 8 million people and get very little to nothing.
Yeah. Fortunately though, we did get a couple of things on film.
We
so
did.
That was very cool.
Yeah.
All right, theater ghosts.
Theater ghosts.
Halloween show next week. Okay, great.
Cool.
It's gonna be really cool. Theater ghosts. There are tons of stories out on the net.
Of course.
About theater ghosts.
And there's books. There's whole books about theater ghosts. Yeah.
Now, my question, and I know we're going to get into this all over the place throughout, so we're going to tell you a couple stories, too, some of the better ones we found, or we found the most interesting.
Yeah.
Why?
That's what I want to know.
Why? That's the thing, that's the meat, we're going to get into that. I really want to get into that today. And we've talked about this before, some of the reasons that we've discussed them. For example, when we had Stacy on the show that one night, we talked about people as groups creating energy. You know, if people are all feeling the same emotions at one time, Right. Stacy believes that that creates a very strong type of energy.
Yeah, because it's like a single person's energy multiplied by several hundred or however many can fit in the theater, however many are there.
Yeah,
and you're all like concentrating on the same thing at the same time, and you're and the film or play or whatever kind of theater it is is bringing your it's playing with your emotions and you know working on you that way. That's what a play or film does. So at all these people's emotions concentrated, and she says that she can actually feel the energy when she drives by a theater of all this emotion going on, that it creates an aura kind of effect around the theater, and it just like takes and it's like just gigantic.
I feel that too.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's really paranormal in nature. It's more of an emotional thing for me. Who knows what that could actually be, though? Sky's the limit on something like this.
Right.
But why?
But we're there's a lot of energy, concentrated energy, in theaters. And
a lot of these theaters are old theaters, too.
Yeah.
They date back like 200 to 300 years.
Yeah.
We unfortunately can't talk about all of them. I'd love to. But a lot of these theaters are older. And like back in like, the 1800s, theater was like the main source of entertainment.
Well, yeah.
For a lot of people. And like, it was a very gripping thing. It was a very emotional thing to go see a play or an opera. And people actually, they really got into this kind of stuff. And that's what I'm getting at least, is like, that type of energy could create, you know, types of paranormal occurrences, so to say. But really, we're talking about theater ghosts.
Right.
That's part of it.
People who work in theaters tend to experience interesting phenomena.
Weird ghosts.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of stories here. Do you want to start? Or do you want me to start?
I can start.
Go ahead and start.
But I unfortunately didn't get to prepare as much as possible. But
jeez.
as usual. But I know. But you did provide me with some material. Thank you. And you especially gave me the Wellington Opera House.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely phenomenal. it's the Wellington Opera House. The ghost of Albert Liddy, the construction project manager, has been seen in the building, and he's they blame him for a lot of misfortunes that know that are experienced there. So they, you know, they blame him. Why not?
Well, blame the ghost.
Yeah, well, of course. Pat Shields is the guy who retired. He was the manager. He retired in the 1990s. But he talked to they talked to him and he says that the staff has claimed to have seen two ghosts at the theater, and of course, you know, Albert Liddy, when they were building the Wellington Opera House. He shot and killed himself while of unbalanced mind. So that's you know, obviously he's a candidate to be one of the ghosts. And then there's
Does it specify if he shot himself in the theater?
It said actually that it was in a building on the site.
Oh, okay.
So it was there, so you know, while they were doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. So he had shot and killed himself.
Mm.
But that's about all that's going on with that one. I don't have very good description.
So it's a ghost in a theater.
Ghost in a theater.
Convenient.
The guy who built the thing.
The guy who built the theater.
And there's nothing about the other ghosts other than, you know, there were two scenes.
Okay. Well, I got a juicier.
Wellington Opera House.
I got a juicier one here for you if you want to hear this one. This is
okay.
This is the Drury Lane Theater.
Well, that's an extremely famous.
It's the oldest one in London.
Yeah. And that's an extremely famous like theater as well as haunting.
Drury Lane Theater, Theater Royale, is the oldest theater in London. Okay, having been built in 1663. Now that's amazing in itself, right there, because you can still go to this place and still see performances in a building that old. Must be phenomenal to walk around and just look at all the hand. It's always all handmade back then. All the architecture was all hand done. All the cutting and woodwork, all hand done. Its walls have a long history full of intrigue, romance, and murder. Sounds like a soap opera. The most famous ghost to inhabit the audience is the Man in Gray. Now, this was a really good one I read, and this one really stuck out to me. so named for his long gray coat accompanying his tricorn hat, powdered wig, and sword. He had a sword, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay. His dress has been identified as common to the 18th century. He's more apt to shush patrons rather than scare them. Now, could you imagine that one? You're on your cell phone.
Blah, 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 blah.
And like, shh.
This
and there's
guy,
like no one there.
Yeah. This guy in like 18th century dress is like shushing you.
Yeah. Well, he comes to watch the play from the balcony where he slowly walks from one end to the other only to disappear into the wall. Who said ghosts only appear at night? His favorite haunting time seems to be between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. Time enough for the tour groups to get a good peek. He is often seen at rehearsals, and his presence is considered very lucky. Of course, these are the people that want you to break a leg before any performance, too,
well,
so I think they are just looking for something to hold on to.
Well, I think they might have messed up that reference a little bit, because I did a bit of community theater myself, and the break
really?
A leg thing is, yeah, what they do with that is the theater folks will say break a leg before the performance, and that's because that's like one of the worst things that can happen is if you're performing and you break your leg while performing.
Well, we
so
got, we
if
got
they
that.
Wish you the worst,
mm-hmm.
then, you know,
yeah.
then
okay.
by saying it, it will not happen then. That's like, oh, I'm going to buy a ticket and win the lotto, you know. You just usually don't.
This came from ghosthunting101.com also.
Yeah.
So that's who did this write-up. Very good, very thorough write-up. But the person obviously has a sense of humor, too.
Oh, yeah.
I've read through this thing, and I was like, oh, geez. I'm going to have to really work on this to try to get it on the air. another thing here, something wicked walked through the theater about 200 years ago and left a rotting corpse behind.
Ooh.
Around 100 years ago, a workman broke through a wall containing the skeleton of a man complete with a knife poking out of his rib cage. Now, call me crazy. But I'm thinking he didn't do this on accident. At least not the bricking, by bricking himself up in the wall.
Right.
The remaining bits and pieces were gathered up and buried in a nearby churchyard. Who knows, that could have been the man in gray. We never know.
Yeah.
It could have been. I mean, it's a typical, like, let's set up a ghost haunting scenario here. Well, somebody stuck a knife in this guy, possibly in a duel or some sorts, and buried him in a wall.
But it's not normal to have a is it normal to have a haunting and then later on find a convenient set of bones buried in a wall? I mean, I've heard that before.
We talked about the Feast of Belmez last week.
Yeah. But it's not, I just think that, you know, that they could be connected or they may not be connected.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I say that very loosely, but I'm just thinking about the Feast of Belmez we talked about last week.
And they dug up and they found the three skeletons. Yeah.
Yeah, they found these skeletons. Well, no heads on them.
Yeah.
Weird. You know, so that there could be a correlation there.
Oh, yeah.
There could be some type of correlation. I mean, but regardless, we got some guy in gray that's shushing people during a performance.
Yeah.
Which, a little weird. It's a little out of the, well, obviously, it's out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
I don't need to even say that here.
It would be pretty cool. I'd love to have been there and had it done to me. Although, I'm usually pretty quiet.
Oh, I'm very
not
good.
Watching TV, though, as Will probably knows, but... I tend to taunt the TV, but watching. Speaking of movies, are we going to go see Ghost Ship this upcoming weekend? I think it starts on Friday.
That looks cool. There's been a lot of ghost movies, like ghost paranormal related movies coming out. I've seen them.
Yeah,
it's because I pay more attention now.
Yeah,
but got 13 ghosts. Help me out here. 13 ghosts.
The others.
And Ghost Ship. Wow,
and
a whole lot.
There you
that
go. No, there's also that one about the, they were taking out all the stuff out of the asylum or something in New England. Everybody talks about it on the message board.
Yeah,
isn't
it?
What's that one? The remodel. Oh, good.
I know,
Will.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
I worked for a movie theater, I don't know.
Well,
it's on the tip of my tongue. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But, yeah, I saw it. It had, like, what, George Clooney or something. I don't know, somebody famous. And,
yeah, I know. But still, okay, four movies.
Yeah, well, no, there's been more. There's been others, I'm sure. But
yeah.
I mean, look at the kid who sees dead people. That sort of started it off.
Uh-huh.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the movie, The Kid Who Sees Dead People.
The Kid Who Sees Dead... Well, that's the one that... everyone's like, he sees dead people. You know, I mean, that's what it is. And
it's true. Echoes is good.
I didn't get to see that
Kevin
one.
Kevin Bacon. That's a really good movie.
I'd like to see that. But, yeah, upcoming this weekend is Ghost Ship. I want to go see it.
Mm.
I think we should plan on that.
Actually, that looks like a really cool movie.
We'd have to go, though, on Friday, because that's when it opens, though. Because Saturday, I'm out west.
I got to move.
And you're moving.
I'm moving.
Yeah.
You saw my living room.
Boxes everywhere.
Yeah, boxes everywhere. We'll have to work something out. Well, I'm off 2 days this week.
Yeah, but it doesn't start until Friday.
Maybe I'll just go, oh.
I don't think it starts till Friday. Oh, well. Enough about ghost ships. We're talking about haunted theaters.
Next week, Patrick.
Avon Theater. Or are we not switching topic yet?
Well, actually, I got another one that's very cool here.
Oh, tell me about that.
Let's fly over to Australia.
Oh, that's a good story. Did you fly over to Australia?
Please adjust your tables and seats. Shut up. Please. I'm talking to me. I wouldn't tell you to shut up.
Okay. I wouldn't anyway. So, but go ahead.
Australia's most famous theatrical ghost resides in Melbourne. It is the spirit of the opera singer Federici, a.k.a. Frederick Baker, who died in the finale of Charles Gounod's Faust at the Princess Theatre in 1888. Federici had a heart attack while descending into hell through a trap door in the stage.
Now that
hope it was the end of the, hope it was the end of the play.
that's pretty bad. I mean, that's really, really dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, you're up there, you're doing your job, you're working, he's obviously singing like crazy,
mm-hmm.
and then you know, part of the act is to, you know, go through the trap door and descend into hell, and that was your last descent was into hell. Now that's pretty sad. Yeah.
Actual audio from the.
I do.
From Frederick Baker's death.
Like those actual Egyptians on the,
He's got a gut! Why does an Egyptian have a gut? He lifts heavy rocks all day long, and he's got a gut!
Yeah.
No, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
But that was cool.
Fox's presentation of the, it was a really, really well done.
Yeah, they didn't have as much money on the budget for extras.
Yeah.
So let him slide through, we'll put him in there. Anyways, since then, Federici, I gotta say this right, has been seen by scores of actors, patrons, and theater workers. Ghost tour operator Drew Sinton and Princess Theater owners David and Elaine Mariner would not allow priests or mediums to pray Federici away. Everyone who works there accepts him, Sinton said. Elaine Mariner has had experiences with Federici, but she really likes having him there and would be annoyed if anyone went in and moved him out. Rob Guest received a letter when playing the lead role in The Phantom of the Opera from a woman who said that while sitting in a dress circle, she saw Federici standing to his left. And an actor in West Side Story was putting on makeup when a hat mysteriously flew off the stand beside her. A quote here, 70% of the cast of Les Miserables.
Les Miserables. There's no L-E. You don't pronounce it.
I'm not much for theater, so I've seen this like word like a billion times in my life.
Oh, really, yeah.
So Les Miserables.
I'm not sure to go see it. Les Miserables
seems to have a brush with Federici. So it's quite active. If she's like trying to throw a statistic out there, as in 70% of the people that are on the cast of that show have seen this guy cruising around. So I mean, that's quite active.
Well, the typically in all the stories that I've read, rather than going into specific ones, what seems to happen is they tend to believe that these ghosts, the ghosts who inhabit the theaters, are obviously somehow connected to the theater. That's, you know, number one.
Yeah.
Either they, you know, helped build it, or they were on the crew there, or they were actors there.
Yeah.
Another thing that's interesting is they tend to be pretty mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either hiding some props or, you know, frightening people during performances, that kind of thing. They're pretty mischievous in that way.
Well, one thing that makes me think of, too, for some ridiculous reason, we didn't even think to even research this one at all, and I'm horribly rusty on it, but Central Michigan University, there was a girl who was going to school there at one time, and she, there was a dumb waiter, you know, the dumb waiters that would go like a dumb elevator on a rope. She had her head in the elevator shaft. This story is quite popular, too. She had her head in the elevator shaft, and I guess the rope broke and it took her head off.
Oh, I've heard of that.
I don't know the formal ghostly name for it. I know there is one.
Yeah.
But this girl's quite mischievous also. People see her and things get knocked down and thrown all over the place, and she tends to be quite, I guess just a real prankster, so to say, a mean prankster. Central Michigan University here in Michigan, Mount Pleasant.
Well, they've got several. As a matter of fact, that's interesting, too. That could probably be a couple of shows in and of itself as haunted schools, because Michigan State University.
But it was a theater, though. It was in the theater.
CMU, yeah.
That's why no college ghosts today. Just theater ghosts.
Oh, okay.
But no, that she was a theater student. And only in the theater area.
Yeah.
Like an auditorium.
Where she messes around.
And, like, yeah. It's behind there and messes with the cast and crew and people like that. But, yeah, she was actually decapitated by the elevator shaft when it came down. The rope broke and wham, her head right off.
Ew.
Not a good way to go.
No.
Beheading is not...
My top
10 list of ways I should die, I think that...
No.
You're not going to see beheading anywhere in that.
Yeah, number one for me is, like, you know, old age. That's
the most fulfilling.
Yeah. But, no, beheading is down there.
Ghostly Talk at ghostlytalk.com. Ways you'd like to die. Please, give us your opinion.
Yikes. So then, I noticed these common threads. They tend to be a little mischievous. You know, I know for a fact that when you're working on these productions, because I was in a little bit, well, I did behind the stage work. I wasn't an actor or anything, except for once. I did get to do a death scene, but anyway, the ghosts that inhabit theaters tend to be mischievous, and I think that pretty much is like how a lot of actors and workers on the set are anyway.
Well, yeah.
They tend to be really fun-loving people.
Oh, yeah.
For the most part. I mean, there's some real serious people, you know, like, who really bring down the level of fun, because they're like, oh, it's art, and they're always moody and, you know, broody and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of fun stuff go on when you do a production.
Uh-huh.
And I think that a lot of these stories that I've read about theater ghosts are, you know, really show the mischievousness of a theater staff.
Well, one of my best friends, Pete, his older sister, Valerie, she actually is one of, like, she's a contractor in Chicago for a theater house.
Oh, really?
And, like, the comment you just made about mischievous and joking around.
Yeah.
That's all we ever heard about from her.
Like, oh, yeah.
Going to work and, like, who built this stupid thing and put it up on the stage while they were trying, you know, trying to rehearse, and, like, just jokes being played upon, you know, hiding people's costumes, just goofy things like that, or, like, pinning something on a costume that, where they couldn't see it, but when they actually put it on, you know,
yeah,
big stupid sign, kick me on the back, or all kinds of goofy little things. Now, if I had a ghost put a sign on my back, now, that, I'd be, it'd be very funny, but if somebody said, I didn't put that there, I'd be, okay, what's going on? I don't think I've never heard of a ghost that was that creative or that witty yet. They can actually pull a joke like that. Most of the time, it's just ripping things down, tearing things, you know, not destroying things necessarily, just knocking things over, or shooting a hat somewhere out of nowhere. Things like that, where it's just more like, whoa, what was that? Which is mischievous by nature.
Well, Olaf is saying, you know, poltergeist-style
activity.
Yeah,
somebody just said poltergeist-style activity. Okay, hey, the sky's the limit still. I mean, you never know. It could possibly be something like that. There's a lot more to a poltergeist than just throwing things around, unfortunately, though.
But there's also all the energies are there.
Yeah.
I mean, all these people are doing this work. They're loving their work. They're, you know, really getting into it. They're shedding their own persona and bringing on someone else's persona for their art, for their craft.
Well, with a poltergeist, this would be interesting to actually try to measure. I'm sure there's certain... You know, unfortunately, I'm not very versed on theater, but I'm sure there's certain plays or productions that are more catered to a younger demographic.
Yeah.
And there's some that are to an older demographic. And we've talked about poltergeist billions of times in the past, and we've said it was females, you know, the statistic, rough statistics, like between 14
teenage,
and 25,
yeah.
Okay? let's try to break it down to that demographic. Like, we have a play here that really caters towards the female demographic between 14 and 25. I wonder if the activity
there may be more activity,
which that would bring in the poltergeist element possibly. But there's a lot more steps to it though. Poltergeist, it's more or less an uphill thing where, you know, it starts out with little jokes here and there and
somewhat
friendly.
And then you become used to it, and then it steps up into
next thing you know, you're getting pinned against walls,
and you don't like that. Yeah. Whereas with these theater kinds of ghosts, they tend to it seems to be fairly constant.
Yeah. It's just more like I saw this guy. He usually
does this, walks around,
that's it.
Or hides hats, or they do these interesting little quirks that the theater ghosts have.
Yeah. Another Australian story here. This is actually quite funny, as I read this to you before the show. The ghost of Melbourne Town Hall, which is another theater, emerged in June of 1982, which is quite recent, when organist Thomas Haywood was recording Percy Grainger's Colonel's Song. Haywood said the ghost would walk around the organ while he was playing. Sentence said, this is from third person actually, he also noticed some organ stops were changing by themselves. Haywood finally shouted at the ghost, "Go away and let me finish!" You got a picture, this guy's probably sitting in this big hall trying to record this thing by himself.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he just shut up! I mean, to himself.
Yeah.
He's probably making him look more or less like a kook. But, the ghost never returned, though.
Well, there you go. It worked.
So maybe somewhere out there, that might have proved in a roundabout sort of way that you can interact, which is more. That's another characteristic of a poltergeist, though, too. You can interact with them a lot more.
Right, because they're semi-intelligent, or they show intelligence. Yeah.
Yeah. The production manager at Bisbane's 12th Night Theater, which is another one. Sean Boland has seen Elizabeth, the theater's teenage ghost, several times. Boland said two appearances by the long-haired ghost on the same day was a bad omen for the show. So now we're having people telling us if it's good or bad luck to see the ghost.
Well, there's a lot of that kind of stuff in theater. Good luck symbols, bad luck symbols. There's a lot of that. You know, they're very, I guess, superstitious that way. And
I did read somewhere else with the man in gray. If you've seen him, they said it was good luck.
Yeah.
I've read that in my notes here. It's buried in all the words, but
well, there's also modern hauntings as well. I'd love to talk about Avon, you know, Decatur.
Yeah, I want to get to Avon,
but
definitely.
I don't think we're going to have time. Because I wanted to hear some from Will. Because Will actually worked in theaters, but these are the kind, you know, movie theaters rather than, you know, theaters. Like,
well, I'm going to get put on the spot, huh?
No, he'll tell the story. Believe me, he loves these stories. I don't know if we should tell the location because we might cause descending upon the location. But this was recent because it was, several years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago?
Well, it started in the end of 95, actually. The theater opened up in spring of 95. I helped open up the theater. I was young, 15 years old, and, you know, my first job. And within about 6 months later, we had all the women who worked in the concession stand. The cups would just fly out of the holder and hit the girls in the butt. So we called it. We always considered it a male ghost.
Well, that's going to be the ghost of Scott L. In about 100 years, he'll be doing things like that. You womanizer, you. How's that for being put on the spot?
Scott at ghostlytalk.com. Scott L. at teammfps.com. Feel free to hit me any way you want. 5'6", slightly robust, thick beard, brown eyes. Go ahead, sorry.
But as things started progressing, it only seemed to happen to about 10 people after that incident, after those incidents. Those incidents always happened to the people who basically opened up the theater. From there, it was only about 10 of us, and those 10 always seemed to it was always somebody who either opened up the theater or was there within the first 6 months. And there were faces in the windows, you'd hear voices. We actually figured there was actually more than one ghost in there, because one appeared to be male, and there was another one where we would hear like a girl giggling. And that's obviously, you know, not a male.
Here's a question. We're talking about movies now.
Movie theater. Yeah, oh, okay.
True movie. Theater, okay. I mean, there's a lot of the same characteristic by watching a movie.
Well, the same kind of thing happens. All the energies are pretty much concentrated. And
do you remember like what movies might have been playing around this time, possibly?
Well, Toy Story was one, but no, you know, it was kids, you know, but which is still like 14, you know, 14, 15, 16 year old girls. But I mean, that was more about, you know, 8, 9 year old kids. But
uh-huh.
But we had, I mean, there was just.
Still, they're little, even 8 or 9.
They're little spindles of energy.
Yeah, they're little packages of ever-changing biochemistry going on there.
It makes you sick, don't it? Because it's like, I wish I had that kind of energy still.
I don't have that energy.
It's hard. I get lazy at logging into Yahoo half the time. I can't barely do that anymore.
There was one night that my assistant manager was closing up the place by herself, which has never, you know, ever happened, really. And when you look out and it's dark outside, you can see what's behind you.
Because the lights behind her were reflecting off of the all glass doors.
Right.
Okay. So she could see behind her in the glass.
Well, she had checked the entire building, made sure there was nobody in it, and when she was going to walk out, she could see behind her as someone walked down the hallway. The concession stand down, you know, across the entranceway. And she freaked out, came over to the restaurant where everybody else was at, and was just basically in tears.
There's somebody in there.
Yeah, there's somebody in there. Yeah. So, of course, you know, all of us guys, you know, 16, 17 years old, all run over there.
Filled with just angst and ready to kick the living.
Get them. Right, ready to, you know, beat up somebody. But, and then we realized, you know, it would have had to have been. You know, it had to have been the ghost, because, and she said it was a male. It was an older male. And
dirty old man.
Which is basically,
throwing cups at girls' butts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was just so many, you know, there was, you know, 10 people that, it always happened to it. It would mess with the. We had walkie talkies. It would mess with the walkie talkies.
Oh yeah, those are cool.
Nobody would. You know, there would be like 4 walkie talkies out. 3 people wouldn't hear it at all, and then the one. You know, one girl would be like talking to somebody that. Like, what are you talking about?
Who are you talking to? Well, you called me on the walkie talkie. No, nobody called you.
The one time I actually. Got
you said you loved me.
The one time it actually got kind of freaky. I was working. She was upstairs in the projection booth. And it was saying, I know where you are. And it would tell her to, you know, to go to different theaters upstairs in the projection booth. You know, go down by theater 4, go down by this theater. And where are you? I can't, you know, I know where you're at. I mean, it was this constant thing, and she's freaking out.
Did this happen over, like, a half hour or an hour, or?
And it happened over about 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And
that's all that happened?
Yeah, well, she was freaking out because she realized it wasn't us. And it wasn't like like interference from a trucker, because nobody else was hearing it. One of my friends was closing up at the end of the night, and he was going through checking the theaters, making sure nobody was, you know, hiding out, or, you know, a couple of kids, you know, sneaking to the clothes theater, making out or whatever. So he walked into one theater, and he actually was pushed downstairs.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that was the most physical thing that happened, wasn't it?
That was the most physical. A couple of people had, you know, their shoulders tapped. We had this one girl who was waiting for her boyfriend to get off work, and he was a projectionist also. And she was, you know, doing her homework up at the projection booth, just sitting there, and she heard someone running down the hallway. And she thought it was just, you know, either myself or her boyfriend, because we were both there. And, well, we were downstairs. Well, this thing was running right by her. She felt the wind of the person run by. She looked, and there was nobody there. And she freaked out.
Wow.
She lost it. She after that point she was never upstairs by herself. Yeah, there was a lot of people who wouldn't go upstairs by themselves.
And this was a new theater. I mean, it was built in 1994, 1995,
right.
But it has its own resident ghost or ghosts.
And things still do go on. I mean, everybody who it had happened to during that period of time when I worked there has all since left. Well, it's just the only couple people are still around,
yeah.
But they weren't the ones that had it happen to them. Well, now they are the ones who are the recipients of this ghost. Or ghosts.
Yeah.
Well, the theaters in general, I mean, this is a broad demographic, I guess, but Theater, when I think of the theater still, now that I'm an old man, when I think of the theater still, I kind of think of, like, high school, youth, you know. And that's where, I mean, I know lots of, you know, older folks go, middle-aged folks, young adults like ourselves go still, but I know probably if you had to, like, number it out, most, I mean, the bigger part of the pie would be, like, younger people, you know, teenage, like, late teens to mid-20s, possibly. That's what I'm saying. It's a brand-new theater, and a lot of the things you were talking about just screams Poltergeist to me a little bit, like that type of activity, being pushed down the stairs, especially. That would be, I mean, that's a physical, and that's a characteristic of a Poltergeist itself, according to the research.
Well, about 6 of the 10 people who actually had experiences actually saw a ghost, including myself. I turned off all the breakers, and I turned around, and there's this glowing face looking at me through one of the openings looking into one of the theaters. And there, that one end of the hallway, there were certain areas of the theater that had most of the activity.
Mm-hmm.
Projection booth on the one end, actually the south end of the theater,
mm-hmm.
had the most activity. Also the theaters downstairs, and then the concession stand.
Okay.
There were certain areas where nothing happened at all. Like, nothing ever happened in the break room. Nothing ever happened, you know, on the north end. It was always the south end, the concession stand, and parts of the hallway.
Who knows what they built that thing on, too?
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
The old corporate. We'll build it anyways.
Well, I wonder how many people actually pass on to the next world in a theater. Like, you know, you're sitting there, you're enjoying a movie or whatever, and why not just, you know?
Well, I know how emotional I get with films, like ones that suck, especially.
Oh yeah, I usually want to throw things at them. Yeah.
Yeah, I get pretty angry, and there's been a few times where I'm just like stomping out of the theater, going, "I spent $7 on this garbage."
Oh, it's more now.
And this.
How long has it been since you were in a theater?
I don't. I'm a DVD and video kind of guy. I just wait for it to come out on DVD or. I'm not a big person. Yeah, well, that's the reason why. I went, my ex and me went last summer.
Okay.
That was the last time I've been to a theater, and before that, God, I don't even know when I went. But I think I shelled out like $14-$15 to get us both in there to see, Scary Movie 2.
Oh, well, that's not a bad one.
No, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. That was very fun, but I have been there and spent the equal, you know, I'm sure I spent...
That or more,
that,
yeah.
And I had to sit through some, you know, some piece of cinematic garbage that I just wanted to, like, rip a hole in the screen. And
yeah. I spent good money on this?
Yeah. So, definitely, I mean, I see a lot of energy. I mean, I see, like I said, youth.
Yeah.
Youth, you know, especially, you know, the teenagers. So I know I was a teenager, and you were a teenager, Doug, and you were a teenager, Will. And I know what I did in theaters when I was... Fun, fun, fun.
It still goes on.
Oh, I know. I was there last summer.
Yeah.
And me and my girlfriend are sitting there, and I'm watching the movie. I'm watching the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I got my own place.
So, yeah, you don't have to sneak up to a theater to do it.
Yeah.
You
know? But I'm like, you know, 4 or 5 seats down, I'm just kind of like, oh, popcorn, great, cool, thank you. And then I, like, look, you know, in my corner of my eye, I see, like, and I'm like, hey, wow. All right,
those
yeah.
Those two need a hotel room.
that was all right, you know. And they were young. They were kids. But, yeah, there was a theater. You know, and the leg goes up on the chair. I'm like, oh, my God.
Sorry.
Never mind.
That was a pretty active
theater. Oh, yeah. I saw her leg. She put her leg up on the chair. I'm like.
Gosh.
Right.
But,
you know,
I'm
just blown that bit completely there.
Yeah, that was bad. But that stuff still goes on. I mean, the teenagers, they get out of the house and they go there, and all they can think of to do is to,
These raging hormones.
Raging hormones.
You're kissing this girl in the dark.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's, well, people are looking at you, but you're not making that much noise, so it's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, 16, 17 years old, and these hormones are just... overdrive.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, you know, what I give to people.
You're just getting too old now.
Like I said, I have a hard time logging into Yahoo these days. I gotta log in again.
I gotta shorten my password.
That, like I said, I mean, Brandy Theater, I mean, that's the only I can really think of that would really, like, manifest something like that.
Either what was it built on, or did somebody actually pass on in the theater, or poltergeist-style activity with all the youngness going on.
Firing it up.
There was a guy who, about 3 months after the theater opened, he had a heart attack during one of the movies. I don't think it was a scary movie or anything like that, so it didn't like scare him to death. But he did have a heart attack. The ambulance came in, took him out.
He's probably trying to get to some chick flick with his wife, and he said, "You know what? Death is better." All right, here we go.
But he didn't
actually, man now.
He didn't actually die in the theater. He did live for a couple of days, and he was in a coma. But you know, when does your spirit leave your body? You know.
Yeah.
Did it leave, you know, while he was at the theater, and you know, they were just sustaining him on life support, or you know, or what? We don't know. And that was another reason why we thought it was a guy. It was because it was a guy who did die.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't nickname for him George. I mean, everyone had fun with it. He was never really, you know, mean up until he pushed my friend.
Okay.
It was just more, you know, pranks, you know, different, you know, just little things.
That makes you wonder, because we hear about all these, well, we've talked about pranks a lot on this show.
Yeah.
That makes you wonder how boring the afterlife could be. I mean, funny, but it makes you think a little bit.
I my own viewpoint is that I think it's fairly timeless. I mean, I don't think that there's a sense of time in the afterlife.
No, probably not. But he also raised another good question. When does your soul leave your body? That's a very... That's a deep thing to think about, too.
Well, if we solve this, we better do it in 3 minutes.
Well, that actual question came out when, you know, like 10 of us sitting around, you know, at a restaurant just thinking about, why do we have this ghost?
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, a lot of people that were there, you know, had never had anything happen to them. They just, you know, kept hearing these stories of, you know, of all this stuff that was happening to us. And that question got brought up. I forget who said it now. But,
yeah.
That was like the big thing. Well, when did that? You know, when did his spirit leave his body? Was it, you know, in the theater, or was it in, you know, in the hospital when he was in a coma? When did his actual heart did, you know, stop for the last time?
Yeah. Very good thing to think about, though. If you take anything away from this show tonight, that might be actually cool. I mean, aside from the cool, you know, thought about theater ghosts themselves, would be something like that. Because I mean, that really kind of grabbed me when you said that. Like, when does your soul leave your body? I mean, does the circumstances change that? I mean, if you're like, you have a heart attack and you're slowly, you know, then everything's shutting down slowly, does your soul leave your body, you know, in a slower sense? Or if you, like, get hit by a car going 90 miles an hour, does your soul just kind of, like, leap out of your body? Because, you know, that's traumatic.
Traumatic kind of thing. But I think that even in the stories of the theater ghosts that we were reading...
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people didn't die at the theater itself. You know, I mean, some of these people were just so dedicated to their, you know, their craft that they just return there and they continue being amongst that kind of, being amongst other actors in the theater, the place that they loved so much, because that's another thing that attracts ghosts, according to what we've, you know, seen or read or heard,
place.
Is a good place, mm-hmm. a place that they're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Here's an actual Olaf popped up here. I've been told by my forensic science teacher once that upon death, your body mysteriously loses 4 grams of weight. That could be the weight of the soul.
Well, I've heard that too. They've actually... measured, they've done this, and they've measured, I guess, birds. It was one study that were dying, and they would weigh them
right after they die,
and then right after they die, they weigh them again, and they had lost mass, which is
this can be gross, but when a person dies, everything relaxes.
Oh,
you know where I'm getting at with this?
Yeah, but I'm sure that they also weigh that too.
Okay.
They would weigh the
body
whole thing.
And the whole thing on the table. It's going to still be on the table.
Yeah, the table's not going to lose any weight.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. So, I mean, you know, when I feed Astrid, oh, God.
Yeah, but no, I think that they would weigh the whole package, just absolutely everything.
Okay, yeah. So that's a very interesting thing to think about, though, too. But, unfortunately...
Yeah, we are out of time again.
This show was out of control.
It was awesome. It went everywhere, though, but...
But no, it all ties in.
Yeah.
Every single thing we talk about all comes together somehow, and it's a great thing to think about. I mean, theaters have... It's an emotional hotbed, I guess you could call it, like that. I mean, of people going through all these emotions with whatever they're seeing up on the stage or the screen at that. And that could be, I mean, personally...
And it provides a fertile ground for activity.
Yeah, so there's lots of stories. Just surf around the internet. Go to, like, haunted theaters or ghost theaters or theater ghosts or whatever you want. You want to Google, and you should be able to find stories upon stories if you want to read more. But on that note, though, we are going to call it a week. Next week,
two hours. 7 to 9 Eastern Time.
On the origins of Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
Because there's a lot to talk about.
Oh, man, that thing's going to be... Well, plus it'll be a bit of a party, a bit of fun.
Yeah, we're going to have Halloween.
Hopefully some learning, yeah.
Actually, I'm going to be pretty crusty because we're having the birthday party the night before.
Well, the night before, I'm going to be up at...
Over
at Felt, so it's going to be... I'm going to be dragging.
We're both going to be just... Yeah. Yeah, great. 2 hours. Of all the days we had to pick a 2-hour show.
Yeah, why this one? But I think it'll be fun because it'll be a ramp up for the actual Halloween coming up that week.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, on that note, I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.